You're listening to The Radiator 105.9 FM WOMMLP, Burlington, Vermont. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and this is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. Write the Book features interviews with authors, poets, illustrators, agents, and editors. Today on Write the Book, you are going to hear an interview with Deborah Fennell, president of the League of Vermont Writers. In 1929, luminaries Dorothy Canfield Fisher and Helen Hartness Flanders helped establish what would become the League of Vermont Writers. Karen Lorentz wrote in her history of the League's first 75 years, quote, "One thing has remained steady, the desire to promote education and networking among members so as to inspire writing and expand opportunities for publication. The League of Vermont Writers offers meetings, conferences, and programs that address the needs of writers in the state. League Lines, the group's newsletter, keeps the League in touch with its members throughout the year. It also offers manuscript consultation services and assists with the Burlington Book Festival every September. The first professional submission by Deb Fennell, president of the League of Vermont Writers, was a short piece in Ski Magazine in the 1970s. She promptly considered herself a published writer and went about pursuing her other passions of skiing in the winter and swimming in the summer for a number of years, while continuing to primarily write and publish newsletters for local nonprofits and for her own enjoyment. In 2004, she decided to join the League and devote more time to her writing. She has published freelance articles in papers from Lamoille County, Vermont, to Vail, Colorado, and has written for the Champlain Business Journal. She supports her passion for writing with a day job in public service for the state of Vermont, where her responsibilities include writing a newsletter for medical providers. She serves on the editorial board and reports for DCF Online, the Department for Children and Families online staff newsletter. When not at her day job, Deb is at work on a nonfiction book proposal and writing poetry. As president, she also writes for League Lines, the quarterly newsletter for the League of Vermont Writers. I spoke to Deb Fennell by phone last week, and I began by asking her to talk about the history of the League of Vermont Writers.
The League started in 1929. And we do have some early archives that are kept at UVM, so we are able to go back and kind of find out more about the history. And we do know that an early League secretary-treasurer named Lillian Ainsworth published an article in the Vermonter State Magazine, which I don't know if that was actually the, you know, kind of the original Vermont Life or not, but she talked about, and one of the people who helped start the League of Vermont Writers was Dorothy Canfield Fisher. And some of the other names were Professor Peach, John Coates, Harrison Conant, and Bertha Oppenheim. And they just felt that literary gifts and aspirations of writers within the Green Mountain State should be fostered. And that's actually a quote from the article that the early League secretary-treasurer wrote.
And that was Lillian Ainsworth.
Lillian Ainsworth. And they were tied in with the Vermont Library Association originally.
Uh-huh.
And because President Conant was the president of the Vermont Library Association. And they invited many literary Vermonters to attend one of their meetings, and it was open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And they had short addresses by various people, and then we also have some other historical information that Dorothy Canfield Fisher presented at a 1934 meeting where she read from her short story, The Bad Quilt.
Mm.
There was a woman who wrote a history of the League's first 75 years. Her name is Karen Lorentz, L-O-R-E-N-T-Z, and it was published in 1991. So we have some information from that as well. We do know we're the oldest statewide writing organization. So.
Okay, all right. Now, it hasn't gone straight through that period of time, is that correct?
No, actually, the League has existed during that whole time.
Okay.
However, there have been some changes as far as what we offered to members and things like that. But yeah, no, the original, like our original bylaws and everything, are kind of from that time period.
So wow.
Yeah, so over 80 years.
That's neat. So then my next question was if you could talk a little bit about the mission of the League and sort of how it tries to help writers today and how it tries to help Vermont as a state become a more literary place.
Sure. Well, because we're a nonprofit, we obviously have to have bylaws. And in our bylaws, our mission states that we'll share writing experiences with one another, exhibit published material written by members, present to the society, you can tell when the bylaws were written,
right.
Speakers who are knowledgeable in the technical aspects of writing, and sustain interest through the publication of League Lines, which is our quarterly newsletter.
Okay.
And that we use that a lot to notify our membership about things that are going on. And I think we've pretty much remained steady to a lot of the reason that we were started, but basically promoting education and networking among members, and to help them with their writing and also to expand opportunities for publication. We work on that as well.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, has League Lines been called League Lines all these years, or is that something fairly new?
No, it has been called League Lines all these years, which is kind of neat. And it is a quarterly newsletter, and we publish it about a month before each of our, we have quarterly programs, and we publish it about a month before the upcoming quarterly program. So actually we just published our most recent League Lines because we have a quarterly program coming up on July 30th. I'll put a little promotion in for that.
Okay.
That program is going to be held in Montpelier at the Capitol Plaza, and we have Catherine Britton, who's a novelist who just published her first novel, but she's also published a screenplay before, so she has other publication credits, but it's her first novel. Lisa mm-hmm. McCormick, who's a Stowe Reporter journalist, mm-hmm. and Katie Ives, who's the Alpinist editor, are speaking to us about not writing your novel, about writing for newspapers, and about writing for niche publications. So I think it's going to be a really good program.
Now, do all of your speakers are they all Vermonters?
No, we have had people from out of Vermont. At our January meeting, we had Chuck Hogan, who's from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
But we do oftentimes get Vermont speakers, because obviously they're here. And
right.
Vermont does have a really strong literary community, so it's nice to be able to give speakers an opportunity to present in their home state.
We did talk a little bit before about the newsletters, but I have some questions about the newsletters, League Lines. Can anybody submit story ideas for League Lines, or is that for members only to submit ideas?
Actually, somebody could submit an idea for a story. What the League Lines tends to be is it's usually a recap of the previous quarterly program,
mm-hmm.
and we offer that to anybody who attends the program. It doesn't have to be a league member. They could be a non-member or a league member to write up their opinion, what they saw in the presentation for league members. And so if somebody hasn't been published before, we give a publication credit, and so it's a great way to say I've been published in League Lines.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the benefits of going to one of our programs is you could have, we always ask for a volunteer if we don't have anybody who has volunteered yet to write up those little short pieces. They're about 300 words for League Lines. Then we also do a piece on who our upcoming speakers are going to be for the next program. And then we occasionally have some other pieces in there, things that are going on. The president always writes a letter encouraging people to come and, you know, telling a little bit more about ourselves. And then it depends on what we have space for and what we have a need for, what we put in.
Right, right. Okay, great. Now, let's talk a little bit about membership in the League of Vermont Writers. I know that one of the benefits of membership is getting that newsletter. What's required to become a member of the League?
Well, we're a great organization for beginning writers or for people that have been writing, or if you're just interested in writing. If you pay yearly dues, you can be a member.
Yay!
We have individual memberships, and that's $30 for the year. We have family memberships, and up to 4 people can be a member of a family, and that's $40. So if there's a group of, you know, a family group that writes, that's a good option for them. Our speakers are given an honorary membership for a year.
Okay.
And we also have a student membership. And I was trying to remember, I think it's half price for student memberships with proof of full-time student.
Okay.
And then we also have 14 life members.
Oh, wow.
Those are people who were at one time granted honorary membership, so they were probably speakers for us at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had joined by 1977, we granted them life memberships. One of the people has been a member for 51 years, and
wow.
all of the life members have been members for at least 30 years. So that's pretty exciting that we have people that have supported us for that long.
And that was a temporary thing, the life member opportunity.
As a nonprofit, we found it was a little too expensive. We had to do away with that policy. About 90% of our members are Vermonters.
Uh-huh.
The rest are primarily New England, although we do have some Vermonters that have moved away. You know, they may have retired into sunnier, warmer places, and they still maintain their membership.
So. Okay. Now, what are the benefits of being a member?
Well, League Lines. We also have our quarterly programs and workshops. If you're a member, you get to attend those for a reduced price.
Mm-hmm.
And those provide education. There's opportunities for markets for writing. The workshops have included things like writing fiction, nonfiction book proposals, building characters, and those are all a league member decides that they'd like something, and then they kind of organize the workshop, which mm-hmm. is a great way that happens. And those are open to the public, but you do get a reduced price if you're a member. Networking opportunities are great. We've had conferences in the past. And we had our most recent one in 2010. We also have had Writers Meet Agents events, and
right. mm-hmm.
Our last one was in 2008. That was sold out, and we're planning our next one for summer of 2012. So we will have an upcoming one, and that one, those are always popular. And all of those events, if you're a member, you get a reduced price on those. You can do publication credit and legal aid. And then one of the other really neat things that we do is there's a manuscript critique service, and it's free. So if you're a member and you have a manuscript and you want some people to read it, we have people that have volunteered to read in different genres who have done some writing themselves and have been published, and they will read your manuscript and then give some critiques. So that's another great benefit.
Yeah, I saw that on your website, and I have been a member of the League of Vermont Writers, and I never knew that that was an available service. Do people take advantage of that? Do a lot of people use that?
They do actually take advantage of it, we are working on our website, and we're kind of working on how we brand, you know, everybody likes to work on their brand a little bit, and
right.
our current board is working on some of that and trying to let people know what some of our benefits are so that we can encourage more people to become members, and that was one of the things we said we really need to let people know about. The other thing that we're doing is we felt that we used to call our quarterly events, whatever you want to call them, meetings. And we decided that that didn't really identify what we were doing, and so we've renamed them our quarterly programs.
Okay.
And we think that that tells people a little bit more. And then in January, we always have our annual meeting, and that's our membership meeting that we have to hold as a nonprofit. And we also have a program in conjunction with that. But we decided our other quarterly events should actually have a little different name. So we'll now have our annual meeting in January with a January program. We have an April program. So we actually said, you know, it's really kind of our spring program, our summer program, our fall program, and our winter program is what they are. So
okay. So
we're trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do we let people know what we do? And so that's one of the ways that we're working on it, is trying to make more clear what we do, and letting people know about the manuscript critique service will be another piece that we're going to try and let people know. We recently redid our website, and we're still working on that. And so that's one of the things we'll probably try and make a little bit more apparent.
Yeah, well, I found it on the new website, and I think the new website looks great. So
it's certainly something
that you can find if you're looking. Now, what as things now stand, what seems to be the most popular service that's provided by the League?
I think our programs are definitely the most popular. You know, the people really enjoy them. Anytime we do a Writers Meet Agents or anything about how to get published, those are always really popular. People are definitely hungry for that information. And usually before we do a Writers Meet Agents event, we usually gear probably like the spring program, if we were doing the Writers Meet Agents event in the summer, to when you meet with an agent, and we usually have some agents at that meeting to kind of say, okay, don't do this when you come to meet with me in July.
Right.
But here's something that would appeal to me. And that's always really helpful for our members, too, I think, so that they're not going into the Writers Meet Agents cold.
Right, right. Now, do you get the same agents each time you hold that meeting?
No, so far, we did a Writers Meet Agents in conjunction with our conference last summer, and we had some of the same ones that we had, but we also had some different ones.
Okay.
So it's whoever we can find who's available, and whoever our different members and board members happen to have connections with usually is how we find them.
Right. Okay, great. Now, how about outside of the meetings and programs? Is there a League of Vermont Writers community? Do you know if some of the members have split into writing groups or anything like that?
I am definitely aware of some writing groups that people have split into. I have definitely have some friends that live up near me who have formed writing groups, and they are all members of the League, and so I think that's definitely something that happens. It's not something that we as the League actively promote. We mm-hmm. certainly encourage it. We certainly don't discourage it by any means, but it's definitely something that has happened, and I think that's been a really good opportunity for people.
Yeah, because I think people would like to have writing groups, and I think sometimes it's hard to figure out where to start. So I think that this would be a good place to start, is meeting people at your programs, probably.
That is a really good, and the networking piece of the programs is really good. You know, we try and let people, we always have a meal, and so people sit with people at lunch, and people that are on the board and people who have been around for a while try and spread ourselves out between the tables so that new members really feel welcome, and we try and introduce them to people. We generally ask them what genre they're writing in, so that, and then try and let them, you know, introduce them to someone else who we know who writes in that genre so that they have somebody to talk to. So I think I know when I first came on the board, I couldn't believe how friendly, you know, you're always a little apprehensive going in. At the time when I had published just a very little, when I went, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I belong here. And I couldn't believe how friendly everybody was and how everybody introduced me to people. And it's been just such a great group for me to be a member of. And I certainly would encourage anybody else to join if you aren't currently a member.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned that you have programs and then a sort of annual meeting. What about the locations for those? Are they all over the state, or do they tend to be mostly in Chittenden County?
We do move them around. What we try and do, our April meeting, we try and hold down more in the central part of the state, oftentimes around the Rutland, Killington, White River area. The summer program, we move around. That's been in all different places. The fall program is generally in Chittenden County, and the January program is, well, I shouldn't just say Chittenden County, because this fall's program is in Lamoille County. It's at Stowe, so
okay.
We are moving a little bit. And then the January meeting is traditionally held in Burlington at the, I think it was the Sheraton. It may be something different now. Hotel names seem to change quite a bit.
I think it's still the Sheraton.
I think it is, yes.
And do you find that the subjects that are popular with members at the programs are changing, the popular subjects that they're, you know, I'm just thinking about the internet and computers and how things have changed for writers and for everybody. So I'm wondering if that means that the programs and the things that you have to find speakers for have changed significantly.
That's a really good question. We do, one of the ways that we find out what our members want to learn about is after every program we have the evaluation forms available, and
right.
We always ask, you know, what do you want to hear about that, you know, you haven't heard, or what do you like? And one thing we know that all writers definitely like to hear about, and this doesn't seem to go out of style, is craft. But what's happening in publishing is also something that people are really, really interested in. Particularly right now, people are really interested in e-publishing and what's happening with e-publishing, how things are changing in the publishing industry, what's happening with e-readers and Kindle and Amazon, and what's happening with, you know, are there actually going to be books? And so those kind of topics seem to be very timely, and people are really interested in hearing about that. And we are mm-hmm. planning a fall workshop, not one of our programs, but one of our one-day workshops on strictly on e-publishing, and some people that have had some experience with that. So that's definitely been a pretty big topic. And when Chris Bajalian spoke at our conference last summer, and he definitely let us know that, hey, whether you like it or not, that's the way it's happening, because more and more of his books were being bought as e-books. So mm-hmm. it's definitely something we're trying to stay on top of, and it's always interesting because everything changes so much. So we try to be timely, and that was the name of our conference last year, was Timely Skills, Timeless Craft.
Okay.
We definitely, yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. And another one that seems like it would be related to that, but a little bit different, is the increasing use of social media in order to be noticed. Held any presentations about that?
We've actually had a couple. At the Writers Meet Agents last year, we had a presentation on social networking and using media with Lo Tam. Lo Tam's now one of our board members, and she actually designed our website, and she did a great presentation. And this spring, Metallie Perkins, who is a writer and has been really effective using social networking, did a workshop on social networking. It was great. She did an excellent job as well. So, you know, definitely people are talking about how do you use Facebook, how do you use Twitter, how do you use RSS feeds, and I think any of us that have been to any of those presentations have gotten great education. One of the things we just most recently heard about are QR codes, which is a the little, and I don't know if you've seen them or not, but you'll see them periodically, and you can flash on them with your smartphone, and it brings you to a live site. It's a pretty neat thing.
Wow.
Learned about.
Yeah, that sounds really neat. I don't even have a smartphone yet, so I can't participate.
I don't either, so I haven't been able to see how it works, but I'll have to ask my daughter, who of course has a smartphone.
I felt so important when I got a phone at all. all right, well, so let's talk about your job as president of the League. What does that entail, and how long have you had that position?
Okay, well, first of all, I should say it's a job of love. It's a volunteer position. It's not a paid position. The League is actually an all-volunteer organization. We have no paid employees, so everything that gets done by volunteers. I've been the League president since January. I've been on the board. I was trying to remember. I think since about 2005, 2006. I became a member in 2004, and when I joined, I didn't know that I knew anybody on the board. And then as soon as I joined the League, I found that a couple of my friends were on the board, and they knew that I had previous nonprofit board experience, so I quickly was drafted.
Oh, no.
although I must say, it has been probably one of the best experiences on a nonprofit board. I really enjoy it. It's a fun organization. It's a great opportunity for writers, and just the networking that I've gotten as a board member has been great as well. The president serves for a maximum of 3 terms, and our terms are 1 year. And I'd say most of our presidents do manage to serve their full terms. And we try, and it's typical nonprofit board. We have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and then we have a committee structure. We have a program committee, marketing, PR. I'm probably forgetting some.
So how many people are on the board?
We have 9 board members.
Okay.
And then we have committee members who aren't on the board but who are League members who volunteer on committees. And that's a great way if somebody wants to, you know, kind of see what we're all about, maybe do a little volunteer work, but they're not sure about, you know, the whole piece of it. Volunteering for a committee, you can kind of get your feet wet and see what we do.
Mm-hmm.
As the president, basically I prepare the agendas for our board meetings, communicate with our board members and our members if they email us questions. I direct our committee chairs. I serve on 3 committees, and I chair our program committee. So, and it's a lot of work, but it's fun work, so I really can't complain. And I had been the president of another nonprofit board, so it wasn't like I was coming into it completely inexperienced.
Right, right.
And really and truly, all the people who have come before me over the years who, you know, did the bylaws, got our 501c3 status, managed to keep our 501c3 status, a big shout-out to Marianne Wales, who was our president, and we had at one point lost our 501c3 status, and she got it back for us, which is a lot of hard work. So, and our most recent outgoing president is Pat Gowdy O'Brien, and Pat has been just wonderful in the transition, helping me with, you know, hey, Pat, how did you do this? You know, what did you do in this kind of situation? And Kathy Johnson was our secretary and did our conference last year. I could throw out all the names. Dan Close is our treasurer. That's a really important job. We also have Tommy Waltz is our membership chair, and he's not on our board anymore. He has been a board member, and he has been the membership chair for a really long time, and he does a great job at that. So let's see, Paula Diaco. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten anybody. Bill McCone and Joanne Palmisano and Lo. I think that's everybody. Oh, and Carrie Skiffington. So I think those are all our 9 board members. So,
and you said that the chair of membership is not on the board, so that's a committee.
That's a committee, yes.
The membership committee,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a membership committee of one. Tommy does all of the work. He keeps our database.
Okay.
He sends out emails to new members. He does a wonderful job, and we really appreciate what he does for us.
Now, you mentioned about the term limits of 3 years. Is that true for all board members? Or just the president?
That's the four officer positions. You can recycle back onto another position on the board, but you hold your officer position for a maximum of 3 years.
So, and is that
which
new?
Is good because it rotates it around. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that new?
No, it's in the bylaws.
Oh, okay.
And the bylaws are pretty old, so I think it's... I mean, now, I don't know if we've had... I think that people have only ever served 3 years. Now, they may have served in other boards. Like, somebody could be the vice president for 3 years and then become the president for 3 years.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Somebody could have been the secretary and then moved into another position. So they could have been a, you know, an officer, but not that particular officer position, I think.
You have to write a newsletter article every quarter. So is that a challenge to come up with what you want to say, or is that usually pretty obvious?
For me, actually, the biggest challenge was making them short enough. My first one I thought was maybe a little long, but I just wanted to tell people how great it was to be the president and let people know that we were a volunteer organization and encourage people to get involved and to thank everybody who'd been before me. Mm-hmm. This one I was a little better on, but no, so far I haven't had been too challenged because usually I'm talking about the program that's coming up and the program before. I've usually been to the program before, so, you know, I was really excited about the April program and could write about that, and then I was excited about who had we had coming up in July. So I haven't found it too challenging so far.
Now, we're back to the newsletter again, but I did want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are covered in the newsletter, and I was just looking back through some of the old ones in your archive on the website, and some of the recent topics that were covered include libel, copyright, self-publishing, writing nonfiction, metaphor in fiction, and you wrote a piece about the song as poetry songwriting workshop, and I thought that sounded really cool. And so, first of all, it looks like the newsletter pieces are both subjects of interest as well as recaps of presentations, correct?
Yes, they are, exactly. Yes, subjects of interest, like upcoming, and also recaps of presentations. So the Song is Poetry article that I wrote was about, we actually had songwriters who did presentation, and then they sang, and it was just wonderful. That was at our April meeting, I think, 2 years ago, down in Middlebury. And it was a really fun one to write about. That article was a challenge to make it only 300 words.
Oh, sure.
Because there was so much great information, and it was just such a great presentation. It was really fun to write about, so I really enjoyed that one.
And that presentation was in honor of National Poetry Month, which is, it always fosters so many interesting things happening around the country. But I wonder if you will hold that again, do you think, or will they bring that workshop back?
That's a good question. We had a great time with it, and I think people really enjoyed it. So, you know, if we had enough interest, we probably would. We've also done other poetry. We had the year that we did the conference, because that was a big event, and we knew not everybody was going to it. We also had a poetry event. It was our summer meeting, and it was up in the Northeast Kingdom, and Jerry Johnson, who's a poet, hosted it at his farm. And it was just an opportunity. We had a bunch of poets that read, and then after the readings in the morning, we had lunch, and then in the afternoon, we had some people who did some poetry workshops that was really fun. And a lot of the people that attended didn't consider themselves poets, and so that was really fun for them to try their hand at writing poetry. And then we had people who actually write poetry on a regular basis who were there as well. So that was a really good opportunity. So we love to do a lot of different things with different genres, and poetry is one of them.
Okay. That sounded like a neat one. Well, let's talk a little bit about your writing, Deb. First of all, let me ask, do you write poetry?
I actually do write poetry, yes.
Yeah.
Primarily for myself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a poet, you figure you're not going to really make any money with your poetry anyway. So, when I was in college, I took a class in writing. I've always written poetry, I think, since elementary school. And in college, I took a class on poetry, and I did publish something in a college anthology of poetry. And then when we did the poetry workshop, I got really reinvigorated on writing poetry, and I've actually been doing quite a bit of it recently.
Do you try to publish it, or...?
I will.
Yeah.
I'm editing it still at this point. Yes, I decided I had to pick 5 pieces and really work on them and get them ready. And first of all, give them to some other friends in the league who write some poetry and ask them what they think before I send them out for publication. One of the other advantages of having the network of the league.
Mm-hmm. And so what else do you write?
What else do I write? One of the very first pieces that I ever published for pay, I wrote for Ski Magazine. I was in my early 20s, and I was a ski instructor and met the editor and was skiing with him for the day and told him that I did a little writing. He said, oh, you should send me something. So I did, and he published it. So, you know,
okay.
which
exciting.
Is not what everybody, I don't know if that's a good thing, because then you think, oh, well, that was really easy, but then you're afraid to try again.
Right.
then I did a lot of other things for jobs. I always had jobs where I had to write. Usually I had a lot of jobs that involved writing newsletters, a lot of communication. But trying to write for publication, I really hadn't done in a while. And then when I joined the league, I decided that I wanted to try and publish again. And so I talked to a couple of people, and they said, oh, you know, the Transcript is usually looking for feature articles. And so I published a feature article for the Transcript. I'd also done some writing for my jobs that had been published in, like, the Star Reporter and some of our local newspapers, because I would do press releases and things like that. So I wasn't foreign to publishing. And then I decided I wanted to do a little bit more freelancing, and I heard about, through the League Lines, actually, that Champlain Business Journal was looking for people to do articles. And so I did some freelance writing for the Champlain Business Journal. And then my current job is with the state of Vermont, and I serve on the editorial committee, and I am a roving reporter for the Department for Children and Families online newsletter for staff, and so I write articles for them, and I've been doing that recently for my job. I also have to do a newsletter for my job to medical providers. And then, additionally, I decided that I wanted to work on some projects that I had started, and I'm currently working on a nonfiction book proposal, which I won't talk about too much until I get it done.
Okay.
And I have a children's book that I have started, and a historical fiction piece on a relative who was hung as a witch, possibly, although as I did some more research, I'm not sure if she was actually hung or not. So that's a fun one that I'm working on, too. So I always have lots of things that I'm working on. I just have to finish a couple of them.
So she was definitely accused? You just aren't sure what the outcome was?
Correct, yeah. I mean, I had heard, we have a family genealogy that someone wrote, and it said that, had her name and the date and said hung as a witch. And then I did some more research and found a book about witchcraft in New England, and historical, and she was mentioned in the book, but it said in the book they weren't sure. It said that she may have been, but they weren't positive that she actually had been. So I need to do a lot more research to finish the book I found.
Or make it a little more heavy on the fiction than on the historical.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, now, you mentioned that you're a roving reporter for the department that you work for. So does that mean that people will send you information and ask you to go out and write about something, or are you looking for relevant ideas all the time in your job?
That's a really good question. No, actually, in order to try and represent each of the offices and agencies that are within our department, we try and have one roving reporter from each of them so that we're all represented. So we primarily write, we actually write externally for the department so that they know what the other departments are doing.
Okay.
So, for example, I described the department that I worked for, you know, what the different positions were and what they did, and another piece that we wrote is when we did really well as far as our performance expectations. I've written about that before.
And you mentioned that you write the newsletter for your department. Is that right?
I do, yes. I write a newsletter for medical providers throughout the state.
Okay. Now, here's a question for you, because I used to write the newsletters for IDX, because I used to work for IDX. And I'm wondering, and that was so many years ago, how has that changed? Do you do all of that with desktop publishing, or do you send that out? What do you do to produce newsletters these days?
That's a really good question as well. yes, I do desktop publishing. We have, I just use Publisher, actually, nothing real fancy. And then we email it to the Buildings and Grounds does the printing for the state of Vermont. We email it to them, and they produce it for us. But really and truly, all they're doing is, you know, layout, and then they print it. It depends on how many we're doing. Some we do in-house if we're trying to say, you know, there's a certain number where it's more cost-effective for them to do it, and a certain number under that where it's more cost-effective for us to do it. So we kind of look at the cost, trying to save the taxpayers' money as much as possible.
So. Well, okay, and so outside of work, how much time do you get for your writing?
I try and write on a pretty regular basis, daily. We had a great presentation this spring. Warren Baker did a presentation, and he said, just sit down for 50 minutes a day. So I've been trying to work on that, you know. I kind of set it up as, okay, I'm going to start off and do it 2 times a week and then 3 times a week. And I've been pretty successful now trying to sit down about 5 times a week, sitting down and at least writing for 50 minutes. Just to say that I wrote, you know, it could be poetry. Maybe I work on one of my projects. Sometimes it's something for the league, but as long as I'm doing that, because I think having that kind of discipline to make sure you're doing it every day really helps a lot.
Right, yeah. Now, did you say 15 or 50?
50 minutes. Now, I'm very fortunate. My daughter is grown and is a sophomore in college, so I don't have some. I definitely found it more challenging when I had my daughter at home and she was younger and I was really active in a lot of her activities. So I completely understand how people can find it. You wonder, how the heck can you squeeze any time in?
Right.
I have 2 dogs, and I take them hiking, but other than that, I don't have a lot of other commitments as far as childcare and things like that, which makes it easier to spend time.
That does make it easier.
Yes.
What do you find for you personally as a writer to be the greatest challenges of writing?
Well, I laugh and said that, you know, before I came to the league, I didn't have so many ideas, and now my biggest challenge is focusing on one or two of them and actually completing them. before that, it was like, oh yeah, I guess I want to be a writer. And then I got to the right, and you hear all these great presenters, and they talk about all these things you can write, and you go, oh, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll do that. So it's really focusing and figuring out what you really want to do and making sure that you finish them. And the other piece that the league really gave me, I'd always written. I was an education major. I had a double major in English and physical education. Mm-hmm. And I had always written. I'd written a lot for jobs and things like that. But I had no idea how you... I lucked out the first time I ever published. Somebody said, send me something, and they paid me. But I really had no idea how you went about the business of being a writer. You know,
right.
I knew how you wrote, and I had the craft piece of it, which you always need to work on. But the actual business of, you know, how do you find a market to publish something? How do you, you know, that has really been a help from the league, is to open up some of those doors. As you know, if you are trying to write a book, well, how do you find an agent? You know, what's an agent looking for? How do you present a query? How do you present a proposal? As I said, I'm working on a nonfiction book proposal, and if I was not a member of the league, I wouldn't know that you don't write the whole book when you're coming up with a nonfiction book proposal. They don't want the whole book written before you start. So.
Yeah. Now, are you using information specifically that you got from a league program, or are you using a book as well to figure out how to write a proposal? I mean, writing a proposal is a fairly specific talent.
It is, and yes, I'm definitely using 2 presentations we had at the league. James Tabor did a presentation on writing nonfiction books.
Oh, yeah, James Tabor, yep.
And Kathy Sademan did one at the league conference last July on writing a nonfiction book proposal. And both of those were really helpful as to what to look for and, you know, how it should be structured. And also, once I get it done, I know of some agents that are interested in the topic that I'm doing, and so I have that I got from the league as well. So that's been really helpful.
Well, that's great. Well, back to talking about the league and how it helps people in these situations. How does someone become a member? How do they find out information, and how do they get involved?
Well, our website is the best place to start, and it's www.leagueofvermontwriters.org, and that's all spelled out.
Including Vermont.
Including Vermont, yes. And there's when you open up the homepage, there's a Join Now. So
okay.
You can become a member button that you can, and so you can send in your membership online. You can also, on the league lines, there's always a membership form, so you can send it in by mail if you don't want to do it through PayPal, which is what the online payment method is. You can also send it in with a check, and once you do that, you're a member, and then you'll start getting the league lines, and it will have the information about when our presentations are going to be in our programs, what workshops are available.
Okay, great. And then if people want to get involved, they just, as far as like being on a committee or something like that, they just would talk to people when they go to one of the events. Is that right?
Yeah, actually what we've been trying to do at each of our events is let people know that there's always opportunities. We did a sign-up sheet at the January meeting, at the annual meeting, of who would like to be on any committees. At any time, you don't have to wait for the January meeting by any means. You can definitely just contact us. There's a contact button on the League Line website, and you could send an email saying, oh, I'd love to get involved with something, or, you know, I'd just love to learn more. What are the programs? We have some little job descriptions for what the different committees do so that we can tell people about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, great. And then my last question has to do with you as a reader. I'm wondering what you're reading or what you've read lately or what you like to read.
Sure. I just finished Sunset Park by Paul Austin, I think is his name, or Austin.
Paul Auster, yeah.
Yes, and that was excellent. I really enjoyed that book. I'm also reading, of course. I said I like poetry. It was a long time ago that I took that poetry class in college, so I decided I needed a little refresher, so I got a book called A Poet's Guide to Poetry, and that's been really wonderful. That's obviously not quite the same as fiction reading.
Right.
But I've been really enjoying it. And then another book that I've been reading that's pretty interesting, and because I have a background in education, is I think it's called Proust and the Squid, and it's The Reading Brain. And okay. It talks about how our brain, it's written by somebody who's a neuroscientist, but she also works with kids with dyslexia, and how our brains are wired to read and how using computers and things is changing the way that our brain looks at material, which is really interesting.
So
those are my three most recent ones that I've been working on.
Now, is it all good news or mostly bad news about the way our brain's changing? Or?
It's just different. You know, when we... And it's really interesting because I've talked to some friends who are all writers, readers, and, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, Kindles and reading real books and, you know, what happens. And because I have both a phys ed major background and an English background, I was kind of thinking about kind of the physical piece of reading and, you know, if you're reading a book, how you sit, and if you're reading a computer screen, how you sit, and, you know, and how your eyes work. And, you know, it's just really interesting thinking about it, and I think probably they'll do a lot more research and we'll find out a lot more as time goes on.
Sure, right, yeah. Well, Deb, this was a pleasure. It was really nice to speak with you, and I thank you for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. It was wonderful speaking with you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Deborah Fennell, president of the League of Vermont Writers. And if you want to learn more about the League, they have a really easy website. It's LeagueofVermontWriters.org, and that's all spelled out. Vermont is all spelled out as well. This week's Write the Book prompt was suggested by my guest, Deborah Fennell, president of the League of Vermont Writers. The prompt combines her love of poetry, prose, physical education, and writing. Go for a walk or a hike. As you're walking, say some words to yourself, whatever comes into your mind. Deb Fennell learned in a poetry workshop with Julia Shipley that we tend to walk in iambic pentameter. So this exercise tends to naturally bring out words in a memorable way. Be observant. When you get back inside, sit down and write at least 100 words, or for 10 minutes, whichever comes first. Don't worry about whether you're writing poetry or prose. Just try to capture some of the words that came to you on your walk. Deb Fennell tries to always remember the first 8 words she'd been thinking about on her hike. If you can remember those, everything else begins to flow, helping you remember what you saw or thought about on your walk. She has done this in the city, and she's done this out in the woods on a trail. She says that because of the nature of our iambic pentametric strides, I made that up, but it's the basic bottom line of what she said, it is a productive way to access words. Good luck with this exercise, and please listen next week for another. If you're interested in sharing Write the Book with out-of-town friends, let them know they can stream it live at theradiator.org every Monday from 2 to 3. Archived episodes of Write the Book are also available on iTunes and at writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. So usually at this point in the show, I talk about my blog and I tell people to look at my blog to see upcoming shows, but I'm so terrible about updating it. I'm leaving it out this week. One of these days, I will update the blog and make a big deal out of that. But in the meantime, if you have ideas for the blog, please feel free to send them to me at my email address, which is writethebook bookreportshow@gmail.com. You can also send comments about the show there or news about book-related events. And if you have a writing prompt that you'd like me to announce on the show, I would be happy to credit you if I choose to use the prompt that you send. So again, send it to writethebook@gmail.com. Deb Fennell mentioned that the League of Vermont Writers is an all-volunteer organization, and that's ironic because so is the Radiator. We are operating in Burlington thanks to community support and involvement, and also the incredibly hard work of a number of committed individuals. If you would like to know more about the Radiator, check out theradiator.org. Stay tuned. Cheryl Willoughby will be here at 3 o'clock with The World of Music. This has been Write the Book. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and you are listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMMLP, Burlington, Vermont.